Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.O. Covan. I am J.O. Covan, and I'm here as always with my sidekick, my producer, my life partner, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hi, everybody. Hi, J.O. How you doing? Your life partner. That's a new one.
Yeah, platonic, but, you know.
Of course.
I see three beings on a weekly basis, Laura, Cookie, and Mike.
Yeah.
So, you know, by default, you're in there.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a denim shirt today. Did you notice that?
It did. It's wrinkled.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know.
The sleeve is wrinkled.
The sleeve is wrinkled?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, your right sleeve.
Well, you know what? It's, thank you. That's not the first thing I thought you'd say, but new shirt. It's not a new shirt, but it's a new shirt for the show.
I love it.
So we've got like five episodes left for me to make it through the whole year.
You're doing like a Yellowstone thing.
Well, that's the thing. I'm up to the season finale of season one of Yellowstone. I'm looking forward to, and we'll get to that later in the episode when I break down the major announcement, which probably people are gauging from the title as they always do. But spoiler, we're not going to talk about whatever that is just yet. But it's going to be very fun. It's going to be, you know, a sort of long form comedy and social project by me, which I'm excited for, because at least when it fails, I'll feel like I at least did something substantial. Like,
yeah.
Better to substantially fail than to just fail small.
Yes.
Is what I say. Yeah. It's probably wrong. But I'm having some tough times with comedy these days, Mike. What a shock, right?
So it's seemingly the rest of the country and the industry, and everybody hates it except for you know, the alt-right.
Yeah, it's tough because first of all, SNL has now officially has three major impressions that I'm better than all of them. Trump, though I respect James Austin Johnson, Elon Musk. Though I love Dana Carvey, his Elon Musk was beyond terrible. It wasn't, it was like he was doing some sort of like youthful Paul McCartney. Mm-hmm. And RFK Jr., which Alec Baldwin, who they just, you know, does he just show, is it like a club where he just cuts the line whenever he wants to be on SNL and they're just like, what do you want to do?
I think so, yeah.
Because
I think that is what
works. Yeah, because his RFK, not good. But here's the irony. My RFK Jr., great. But what's fun about doing a great impression of RFK Jr. is that all my followers, and this sort of leads into what we're going to talk about, but also what we talked about last week, which is the softness of the left, the need to be constantly righteous for the sake of righteousness. And a lot of people saying this reminds me of when Trump mocked the disabled reporter. Yeah. We're better than that. And I go, well, first of all, it's not.
Yeah.
And secondly, no, Alec Baldwin not getting nearly as much grief as I am, because mine's good. That's the beautiful irony of this. Do a bad impression of somebody's, whether you want to call it affliction. Let's say affliction. I think that's a broad enough term.
Sure. Yeah.
I wouldn't call it a disability. I wouldn't. But some, you know, he obviously has a really weird voice. That's really unfortunate. So, you know, like Katharine Hepburn on testosterone, strep throat.
Yeah, yeah.
Is how I would describe it. But mine's really good. So therefore, it's very offensive. Alec Baldwin's is terrible. Yeah. Therefore, not offensive. But isn't it the attempt that should count in terms of just because you're not as talented as me, Alec Baldwin, you shouldn't get to skate on that.
Agreed.
Okay. So, or as your wife might say, F-skate. So that's the first thing that's been pissing me off is everybody. Now, a lot of people are like, this is maybe your funniest thing ever. They unclench their buttholes. And a lot of these people are obviously left-wing people.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we have to pile on the cruelty, but it's like, once again, oh, I didn't do comedy in the purest possible way. Therefore, I cannot support this. When the body bags for kids are piling up outside the clinics, let's see if everybody's like, yes, but the real villain was JL the whole time. Sometimes you can be a little mean. He's a Kennedy, for Christ's sakes.
Yes.
It's not punching down when you're a Kennedy. And I think handsome guy married to a Hollywood star is about to kill a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
a voice like this, I don't think it's the worst thing that's happening in my, like, I'm eating McDonald's on a plane with Donald Trump, and we have to get the vaccines out of our schools.
I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. Is it my finest hour? No, but sometimes comedy is a little play in the mud. It's not always like, another witticism from this generation's Oscar Wilde, J.L. Covan, though Oscar Wilde, great. But, you know,
yes,
it's not always going to be Oscar Wilde.
Right.
Or Twain, or whoever your favorite, you know, humorist is.
Yes, Voltaire.
But that was one thing that was pissing me off. And then I realized I haven't been booked in Long Island since 2023. And I know you're probably going, good for you, Jay.
Yes, lucky.
No, but here's the thing that bothers me about that, because it's once again the intersection of politics and comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of a theme of this, of last week's episode, was kind of this like double standard where it's like the right is held to no standard. And they're the free speech people. And the left is always holding itself to too much of a standard and still gets no credit. But I did. I worked all three clubs in Long Island in 2023. There's three. I mean, the three major ones, McGuire's, which I crushed. And that was the most MAGA of them all.
Governor's.
The Brokerage. Yeah. Brokerage. The Brokerage, which I did really, which was a good show. And then Governor's, which was like one small show, which went fine. And then the big show where I walked, it was like packed. They probably papered the room to a certain extent. But like the crowd was like 50-50 split politically. And for a half hour, my set was going great. Then I brought up Trump, and I was not dumb enough to just do my fucking Trump haymakers.
Yeah.
I actually started with saying, I don't like how my liberal friends give me grief for wanting to fuck Lauren Boebert. Now, I don't know how that would offend a right-wing person. Like, that's an olive branch. That's a dick-shaped olive branch. Yes. I'm extending to one of your big MAGA women.
I'm a scumbag too.
Right. I like her dirty, filthy tattoos on her abdomen. That's my kind of representative, jerking people off. That's my kind of house to represent. I feel represented. No taxation without masturbation. That's what I say. Oh, so I'm sitting with Lauren Boebert at dinner, and she says, don't come in my face. And I go, what do you want it in your ass? Oh, hey. Sold out arenas.
Yes, right.
Sold out arenas.
Right.
Andrew Dice Clay, legend, my favorite. When he came out to open for Bill Barr, the attorney general.
Yes.
No, when he opened for Bill Burr, and Bill Burr was like, he's one of my favorites growing up. He's a hero of mine. I'm like, oh, who's this? And then now comes like 70-year-old Dice Man. I was like, just lost some respect for Bill Burr. That's all that happened.
Yeah.
But I walked a couple tables of a very large crowd, but when I was leaving the stage, I heard like one guy go, that guy was fucking terrible. And I was laughing because it was like for a half hour, I was killing with everybody.
Yeah.
Trump came up, and then they were all, and it's once again, only the left, only when the left hates something is it snowflakes and cancel culture. But when a joke comes up that right-wing people don't like, oh my God, they're worse. They're somehow worse than the left. And I haven't been booked at any of the clubs since. And I look at that and I go, because they, you know, we don't like politics. And I'm like, one of the clubs in Long Island actually had a guy who was at January 6th open. I'm not going to name the comic. I don't want to give him the shine. But like lower tier, like a lower tier headliner.
Will you tell me off mic?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But was like, you know, I saw him during Trump's. He was one of those guys where you didn't know he had any politics. And then Trump shows up and all of a sudden there's a lot of commentary on inner city crime and black on black violence. I'm like, wow, I thought you were a fucking gay Tim Burton character for a decade. And now you're all of a sudden very invested in Breitbart News. And then was at January 6th. So I'll tell you off mic, but the point is,
I think I can take a guess, but regardless.
Yeah. But at the point is, it's like politics, everything always skews a little bit against the left. Like when I do politics, if it offends, then it's bad politics. But like you can have somebody up there probably going, Kamala Harris, how dumb is that bitch? Am I right? And they'll be like, yeah, she's fucking stupid. And they're like, we love you. Come back. Special event.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. There's a clientele, but I really, I sort of, and maybe it's just a coincidence, but it's weird that I got booked at all three. and not like all at once. Like I got one, did that, got the next. So it was like a piecemeal thing where you'd say, oh, okay, if they hated me or didn't think I did well, I wouldn't get the next gig. But nothing since that governor's gig where I walked a couple tables. This is horrible. But that was when I said to a guy, I said, Donald Trump. And he said, best president of my lifetime. And I said, oh, okay, fair enough. And he said, maybe Reagan. And I said, all right, fair enough, sir. Sir, I just have one question if we're shouting things. If you could only suck one dick of a president, Reagan or Trump. And of course that's like in the wrong room. That's like, boo. But I was like, oh, right. It's not funny. Cause you're a sensitive bigot.
Yeah.
And so your sensitivities are actually patriotism. My sensitivities are because I'm a pussy who wants to have gender reassignment surgery.
Yeah.
You know, but both sides, Mike, both sides is my point. But, you know, these are just new examples of comedy frustrating me. And it's always been this way. And by the way, if anybody wants to hear my review, I forgot. Usually I give you a theater talk.
Downey. Yes.
We're in sort of Lincoln Center and I'm an author and, you know, I'm a Pulitzer. I won the Nobel and sort of I'm anti-AI, which is interesting because I'm also Tony Stark. But I'm very anti-AI in the play. And here's what I will say. I review it in full on my Patreon. And by the way, seriously, thank you to everybody who's been joining the Patreon. And you're going to want to stay members of the Patreon when I tell you about the big thing I'm working on. But thank you to everybody who did. So if you're a listener of the bonus podcast, I reviewed the play more fully there. So I don't want to blow the, you know, everything for the paying customers.
Yes.
But it was... My summary of the play, and I do most of the review as Robert Downey Jr.
Great.
I didn't realize it was his Broadway debut.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be a dick. It showed.
Yeah.
Like it showed because he's an incredibly talented, charismatic actor. But when you're a movie actor almost exclusively for 40 years, those skills get very good and very locked in. And the theater is a different skill, just like TV is a different skill. I've seen people do great work on different mediums and then fuck up like a different one or not do as well. So I would say he was not, if you're looking for Tony Stark or Cyrus from Tropic Thunder or the senator from Oppenheimer, you're not getting that. The play technically was incredible. Like it's worth going to. And RDJ, we had seats second row. I didn't realize second row, not third. He steps off stage twice. Guess who he stepped off stage right next to?
Really?
Yeah, like right next. He was like, okay, I'm going here. Okay, what's going on over there? What's that?
That sounds like Lord Dr. Evil now.
Well, you know, that's the best I can do. I don't do all the voices, but it is. But he is kind of like young, hip Dr. Evil.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's like swinging... He's like if Dr. Evil had the vibe of Austin Powers.
Yeah, you're right, 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 right.
So it really, and the thing, and I always complain about theater etiquette, no phones went off. That's a great thing. But this was even weirder. Lincoln Center's theater, it's they have two theaters, and I forget the name of it. It's the Mitzi Newhouse and the Vivian Beaumont. Those are two. I don't know if they combined it into one theater, but I did a 27-page paper in sixth grade on Lincoln Center. It was like our elementary school's like final project each year. A++. Didn't have to do a second draft.
Great.
Anyway, so I'm still familiar with these names of places.
Course. Yeah, so why wouldn't you be?
And
why would you have forgotten that by now?
Once you do a 27-page paper in sixth grade, it's sort of lodged in there.
Yeah.
But typed, by the way, typed.
Great.
Thank you. I peaked at sixth grade. That's why I'm bringing this up. But leaving the theater, it's a beautiful theater. And it's Lincoln Center. It's like, if there's any way to elevate theater and art more than Broadway, it's Lincoln Center. Lincoln Center is like, it makes me want to go to like fucking ballet and opera. It's so nice there. It is so beautiful. I will go to the Philharmonic because I like that shit. But the point is Lincoln Center is just at night. It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
And the theater is no exception. Beautiful theater. And I'm leaving because we were in the bottom of the theater. So we were like the wall, you have to walk up to get out. the amount of trash left on the floor and seats
really
was startling. No, I'm not saying it was
by
everywhere.
The elites of New York City.
The elites are leaving their trash in our theaters.
This is what they do. They go to our theaters and they leave trash. They don't care about you. They don't care. They put the trash there. They put it down. They say, pick it up, you piece of crap. No, you're the piece of crap.
I agree with President Trump about the trash.
So, yeah, I thought I was getting out of the theater with no, I wouldn't be able to come in with my usual complaints about society and people. But it was like, it was weird. These tickets were like, the cheapest tickets were like $313 and the most expensive were like $393.
God, it must be nice to have that kind of juice.
Yeah.
$300 play ticket.
Yeah, well, it's sort of called Laura got a settlement from her ex-employer kind of thing. I always buy play tickets every year for us. Like, I'll pick out like four plays for us to go. And some of them will be like those matinee, like,
yeah,
not matinee, but like the early access where it's like, oh, $99 if you get the tickets now.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll spring for like full price. But I said to her, I said, you got to get the play tickets. You got this huge chunk of change that just got dumped in your lap.
Yeah.
So she got them, but it was really disheartening, to be honest, because I thought we were getting out scot-free. And just to see, like, how do you go to Lincoln Center and like eat a candy and go like, this,
I know.
We're, it's all hopeless.
I know.
You know, we've got trash everywhere. It's different types, but we're all becoming horrible people.
Yeah.
So with that inspiring message about my thoughts of the future and our society, when we come back, folks, from this break, this is a big break, Mike, because yeah, this break represents, like, you know, the way the birth of Christ represented a break in our time, a marker in our history. This break, I know you don't usually, you love the breaks.
Yeah.
This is a very consequential break. Okay.
Okay.
So when we come back, big announcement, hint, it's probably in the show title. And we're back. Mike, did you adequately contemplate the future you're about to step into? Like, there are moments in time that are just, there's before and then there's after.
It's sort of like an Earth's Mightiest Announcement sort of thing.
Yeah, very good. Very good. That was kind of like Dr. Evil. So we were talking, Mike and I, after, and we've had some people in the comments trying to draft me to run for political office. So what this podcast is, and I don't want people to think that this is going to be a complete shift from the podcast. This is going to be more like a theme running through the podcast, but not like the podcast is not now JL is running for president.
That's how you announce it?
Because I want people to have this, like, I'm just listening in my kitchen. What the fuck did he just say? I'm going for spit takes on that.
Okay, got it.
You know, I'm still a comedian. Of course. I want it. I don't want to, like, stand at a podium. We're not doing a conventional campaign. Mike, we're not running as a conventional campaign.
Right. Because that doesn't work anymore.
I'm an outsider.
Right.
Me, like, standing at, as Trump would say, I could do very traditional. I could do, yes, I'm running for president. God bless America. No, we got to be on. So I want a spit take. I want people's reaction to be like, I'm just washing dishes, drinking. He's what?
Yeah.
So I've listened to the people. And more importantly, Mike, I've listened to myself a lot. And I think over the next 2 years, this podcast is going to transform. It's going to be the same hot takes, some comedy talk once in a while. But thank God, Mike, none today.
Thank God.
Woo, baby.
Boy, did I get lucky today.
But what I want to do is what we're going to sort of do for video game players. We'd say, hold on, everybody. Got him. Another fly. But do you see? These flies have been bothering me for weeks, but now it's a new JL.
Right.
Okay. Not afraid to take it to America's enemies.
Yeah.
So. For the next two
fruit flies.
Yeah.
America's enemies.
Hey, you know what? I bet you there's some rednecks who will think if I'm tough on fruit flies, then we're not getting any of that trans gym class stuff.
Yeah. Tough on the fruit flies. You're definitely going to be tough on the Mexicans.
Yeah. The point is, though, I think what I want to do with this podcast over the next, because we'll have episodes that focus on specific topics and we will have a through line of the political campaign and the creation, really, of a political candidate, because I view this more as a real life create a president.
Yes.
Like, in other words, when for video game players, you can create your player and they've gotten more advanced where it's like eyebrows, height, yeah, hair color, prejudices. Like, yeah. You can do everything with these. Wouldn't that be great?
If you could select your create a player's prejudices?
Right. Like,
I guess.
Diego it would Vasquez, be new. Highly homophobic. So this is going to be like, we are as a show, and me as a comedian and also social commentator, I am going to create my own presidential candidacy. And obviously we want feedback, but I have my own thoughts. I have my own way, but I'm talking from scratch. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, the first thing on my list is name. That's to tell you how from scratch I'm going. Now, I will tell you this, we'll get to appearance. The buzz cut is not a presidential look.
No, it's not.
So we're going to have to, Mike, you might like this idea. Bring in a stylist, not necessarily to do the styling, but to make recommendations. Like, look at my face, my skin tone. What do you think? What should I do with my hair? What would look presidential on me? You know, like, yeah, that may be over time. I want to bring in at some point, like a political consultant. You know, even the cheap ones, maybe one who's just doing like state Senate campaigns, but still.
Yeah.
You know, why not? On my dime, by the way, don't worry, on my dime, but to see if we can really do this as like a social experiment, but also for fun and maybe for me to become president in 4 years.
Right.
Okay.
The ultimate goal.
Unlikely, but maybe. Weirder things have happened. And we'll get to my scandals at some point, because I can tell you, we got a guy who's going to be going into the White House soon, who's got way more scandals than me.
Yes.
So, name. The first thing is, so everybody, you know my general sense, which is, and it's exhibited through my comedy, and this isn't my stump speech. We will get to that. Like, throughout this process, we will develop.
We're peeling a little bit back.
Right.
At a time.
Right. Will I write a 200-page political memoir for fun and self-publish it? Am I that psychotic? Probably.
Mm, yeah.
Like, I may actually write a semi-real, if no not one completely should be surprised. Real. And I'm thinking of calling it Nightmares of My Mother.
Okay.
Instead of Dreams from My Father, which was Obama's memoir. Nightmares of My Mother, subtitle, How the American Dream is Too Hard for Some, or something like that.
Yeah.
So we tie it, we have a pun, a little comedy, but then we tie it into a broader social theme.
Sure.
And so I like, what I'm asking people to do right now is get ready. Because if you've liked my comedy and you've liked my political takes and you just like maybe even like me as a person, this is going to be a very fun, interesting journey. I'm very committed to this. It could fail. It could be not as funny as I want it. It could not be as impactful as I want it, but I think it might be really cool. Just as like a sort of like, it's like politics from a different angle. It's like, I'm relatively smart. I'm relatively well-informed. I'm not a policy expert or anything, but neither was Trump, I assume.
Yes.
And so agreed. I want to see if we can just, build from scratch in 2 years, somebody who could present as a viable candidate.
Yeah.
Now, the first thing on the most basic thing, everybody, is my name. Because, you know, we had a Barack Obama, and that scared the bejesus out of a lot of people. If his name was... If his name was Robert Smith, first of all, he'd be in The Cure.
Yep.
But
Robert Smith.
What's that?
South Park.
Okay.
When they do the Robert Smith versus Barbara Streisand.
I never saw that.
Oh, come on.
Sorry. But my point is, if his name was Jeffrey Smith, it probably wouldn't have, the secret Muslim thing wouldn't have maybe taken hold with a lot of bigots and ignorant people as much. And then we our next person of color to be a major party nominee was Kamala Harris, or as some right wing comedians call her, retarded Kamala. and I say that because it's just like mispronouncing her name while calling her like mentally deficient or disabled is, you know, well, whatever. But the point is, Jean-Louis Covin, whoa. I don't think that's going to sell. That's very French.
Yeah.
It evokes weakness.
And God, the Americans fucking hate the French.
Yeah. It evokes weakness.
Even when they're Haitian.
Yeah, well, right. The Americans, you know the history scholars in the GOP rank and file hate the fact that Haiti defeated France
in, yeah, in I'm
the
sure.
early 1800s. Yeah. They've never gotten over it. But I think my name is Jean-Louis Covin. I go by JL because I've already capitulated to American ignorance for over half my life by going JL. I envisioned when I played college basketball that I'd be scoring so many points that I didn't want road. This is actually why I changed it, because people in high school could say my name. They knew me for years. But I didn't want to be in opposing arenas dropping 40, having them go, Gene Lewis Calvin?
Yeah.
I was like, no, if I'm feeding your team buckets, you're going to say something correctly.
Yeah.
So I went with JL and then basically scored like the equivalent of a good week for an All-American in my entire career.
It happens.
Yeah. Strongest guy on the team, though. Could really bench and squat like a mother.
I believe it.
But Jean-Louis Covin evokes Frenchness, which to many people will evoke either weakness and or gayness. You're not getting this. What you're going to get the next 2 years is not tested talking, but you're going to get raw lie detector level political analysis.
Yes.
French name on an American president. Have we ever had that?
I don't think so.
Right.
I mean,
Jean-Louis Covin, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And JL Covin, I feel like just like they don't like presidents with facial hair because it's like, oh, they're hiding something psychologically. I feel like initials could make people think I'm hiding something. Now, I want to be JLC in the history books, but I can't be President JL Covin. That's weird. So, Jean-Louis, of course, is French for John Lewis. John Lewis, civil rights icon.
Of course.
Recently passed in America. Covin, Haitian name, sounds French. Mother's maiden name, McBrien, sounds so Irish, it sounds like a parody of an Irish name. Sounds like what somebody who didn't want to hire an Irish person to work in the late, like, 1800s would say, I'm not taking no McBrien's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like, what did you just call me? So what if I was John Lewis McBrien? John McBrien for short, my grandfather and my uncle's name.
I think it works. John Lewis McBrien.
If people are willing to accept Shaquille O'Neal as an Irishman.
Yeah. Yes.
John Lewis McBrien will pass muster.
And as we all know, at this point in time, the Irish are white. White ethnic racism seems to have dissipated in America. They vote Republican. So, I mean, maybe there's a chance that you can swing some of them over. Yeah, I like it.
Okay. So I haven't decided yet. But obviously, John Lewis McBrien, I think, is just, it's a simple name. It's an easy name. It doesn't scare anybody. It doesn't reek of foreign culture.
No.
Or anything where you go, what is this? So I'm thinking about making that my political name. Like Bill de Blasio was like Wilhelm Wilmer or something very like Brahmin,
yeah,
like fancy. I forget what it was.
I'll look it up.
It was like Walter Wilmer. Like you look it up. He went to Bill de Blasio.
Yeah.
And you know what? People can hate him all they want.
Warren Wilhelm Jr.
Wow. Like, that guy is literally, like, Warren Wilhelm
Not even close
Jr. is to, a fucking yeah. top hat cane stepping on homeless people to go to work.
Yeah.
Bill de Blasio owns a pizza shop.
Yeah.
And don't like your kind coming into my neighborhood, bro. And he got away with it. People don't like him.
People hate him.
Two-term mayor.
I know.
And he
isn't that funny?
It is funny, but the truth is, and this is not about Bill de Blasio, but this is a great opportunity to defend a fellow tall politician. Mm-hmm. He really did do some things that he promised to do, though, as much as people didn't like this or that. And by the way, when NYPD turns their back on you.
I remember that, yeah.
I'm sort of like, oh, okay, so he's not all bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he wanted accountability. Like, he ran, like, because he had a black son and was saying, we had the talk with him. And that really endeared him to a lot of communities because it was a hot topic and it was real. But like, Cuomo stifled him on a lot of things, but he got.
Oh, yeah, they did not like
each other. That was Cuomo was a bigger problem because Cuomo knew that the mayor of New York often overshadowed the governor of New York. And he went out of his way, instead of cooperating and creating a great partnership, he went out of his way to belittle him so that he could be the top sort of representative of New York, which is why, you know, maybe Cuomo is a guy. Honestly, the two names we didn't discuss last week, this is a side note before we get back to my campaign. Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, was somebody brought up in the comments, and I said, absolutely, I forgot to mention him. You know, popular Democrat governor, legacy name in the state, heavy Republican state that he won. Not the heaviest, but a Republican state. So Andy Beshear is somebody. White and, but, you know, has man. That white man with yeah. some accent, not necessarily a drawl, but a regional accent.
A real tells you, American.
Yeah, a real yeah. American. And Cuomo. I know. No, no,
didn't
no.
I bring up Cuomo last week?
I don't think you did.
Oh, interesting. I thought it.
Okay.
Sure.
No, yeah. I believe you because Cuomo, the way I was described.
Maybe I was too busy getting steamrolled last week to bring it
yeah.
up.
Yeah. But Cuomo is somebody that now off the bat you go, oh, no, no, no. And that's why I say maybe, maybe, maybe.
Right.
Because, yeah. right? It's yeah. the no's. It's where the no's are coming from because he has turned himself into an anti-cancel culture person.
Yeah.
And he is tough. He's a political animal. He likes the ladies and he's not afraid to say it. And so he's as funny as that sounds to some people who are like, no way. That's somebody who would have a chance, I think. Or I mean,
look
at least
what just happened. Trump literally, right. is, you know, I mean, we don't have to go into it, but.
Well, the good news, though, the bad news for Cuomo is he's not a Republican.
Right.
Like, and I don't mean just
he's
on
He's held
policy.
To a standard of morality.
He's held to some morals, and yes. that may be his undoing.
It's so funny. That's so true.
Right? It's yeah. like.
He should know better.
Because Andrew Cuomo is the type of guy who could probably take it to. Like, if Andrew Cuomo, if Democrats had said. My Quint example.
Yeah.
If they, I will capture the Trump, I will gut him like a fish, and I will grab his beautiful daughter Ivanka's ass, and then I will put them all on ventilators. That is, he would be a guy who might have been able to take it to him, oddly enough.
Yeah.
But it's Democrats who wouldn't let him out of the cage. And I'm not saying we're wrong for holding him accountable, but. That's a guy who might have had a better shot.
They were talking about it during the pandemic until that whole shitstorm happened.
Yeah.
You know?
So we're done talking about that. But
okay.
No, I'm saying like that was just a little addendum to last week.
Yeah.
But I think that my name should be John Lewis McBrien and people weigh in the comments. I know there's going to be some women who are like, I think the Jean-Louis Covin is a wonderful name. Okay. That guy polls at 0.1%.
Yeah, yeah.
John Lewis McBrien polls at 12%. Okay.
Yeah.
That's where we want to be to start out. I mentioned appearance. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I'm tall. I have pluses. I have things I bring to the table. I'm tall. Here's what I have to do, Mike. And this is going to be like part political, part personal journey. I got to lose 80 pounds starting tonight.
80?
80.
Really?
No, because me at 230-ish, trim, you'll see some muscle tone, but not like, what's up? I'm beefy. I'll fuck you up. I'll look like former athlete who now does body weight exercise. I think that's the right build. 6'7", 230, 235. I will dwarf you with height, but I won't dwarf you the way if you saw The Rock get on stage and be like, why is that monster debating Don Jr.?
Yeah.
So now we're gonna have to talk about hair. I'm going to have to maintain, I think, a tan. The winter months are going to be tough. I get very pale. I'm indoors a lot. I don't get the sun I need.
Yeah.
But we do a lot of videos and a lot of events in the spring and summer and fall. I'm looking sharp. So lose 70 to 80 pounds in the next, I'll give myself a year, but I can do it in 9 months. And then that's going to be time to get some new suits. And now I want to get people's feedback and your feedback because you're a fashion guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like wearing flannel. That's real. I like wearing like Midwestern garb.
Yeah.
Which I think could play well. But will it come off as disingenuous that like the, you know, I'm a church-going Cheesecake Factory eating flannel-wearing son of a gun. And that is who I am. And that, I think, I don't have to pretend that I'm a chain restaurant guy who likes wearing warm clothes and I'm a little big. And, you know, I'm not Fetterman. I'm not a slob.
Yeah.
But I'm relatable. Maybe not to the hoity-toity fashionistas, but to regular Americans.
Right.
I don't stand, like when I go to the Midwest, I don't stand, I stand out height, but I don't stand out culturally when they look at me in their full churches that I join instead of these empty heathen places of worship in the Northeast.
Right.
But what, like, so a look for me, obviously suit, tie for like important functions, but like, are we saying tie, no tie, sports jacket? Are we saying just go with the flannel, but just maybe a little, you know, a little smaller size, show a little bit more of a physique? When I get back in shape,
what about, would you think? I mean, if you're doing the casual stuff, you know, every now and then a political candidate will pop into a coffee shop or a restaurant on the road and, you know, shake hands with people. I'm thinking maybe when we do casual stuff, maybe you do. How do you feel about like sort of a little, not athleisure, but a little more like a Peyton Manning sort of quarter zip and like jeans that fit you well with some nice sneakers, not those.
Oh, no, no, no. See, no, now you're talking. You are talking.
You need more than one look.
Of course.
No, you need more than one look, is what I'm saying.
But like nice sneakers. First of all, made in the USA.
No.
$200 a pair.
Yeah, but we can do better than that. Like, you need to look. You still need to look. You need to look like relatable, but sleek.
Okay.
You know, like, that, I mean, frankly, I know she lost.
We will.
I felt like Kamala did a great job with that. I felt like when she was like in public and not in like a position where she was speaking, like formally, she just looked good.
Sure.
She looked good.
I think she's very attractive. I think she could have,
but even just like class, dressed really well. And I don't know, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe having class in America makes you look like a fucking elitist.
But to me, I've always found, and I'm going to speak, I've never been the fashion guy that you are. I've always found, and I'm saying this genuinely, not in like an antagonistic, like, hey, Mike, the better I look, the more fit I am, the better the clothes look, whatever they are.
Always.
Yeah. Like, so like if I'm in a flannel shirt and jeans and a pair of sneakers, but I'm like, you can like see the semblance of my pecs through the flannel and like see that like there's an athletic shape. People aren't going to necessarily go like, I don't know. I feel like just looking like a better version of myself will enhance that. Like when I wear a t-shirt, okay, I want to have a little bit of arm vein, but I don't want it hugging the guns. Like, these are all measured things. Like, yeah. I think Wes Moore, who we mentioned last week, you know, if he shows up and is too jacked, you know, some of the rednecks might be like, I like that in my porn, not in my politics.
Yeah.
And so it's walking a fine line where it's like, I want to look like I hit the gym and that I used to be an athlete and now I just take care of myself. Yeah. That's like the ideal for this. You don't, people look at you and they think you're healthy. You take care of yourself, but you're not too vain and you're not intimidating. The height can't change anything.
Right.
I can't make myself shorter. I've looked into it. That would be too costly a procedure for a podcast experiment.
Yes. Agreed.
But
as your producer,
I mean, if the Patreons flood in, I mean, this is the way this is, as you've put it,
Your campaign donations.
The Patreon is sort of our super PAC.
It is our super PAC.
Okay.
Yeah.
What should we name the Patreon, the super PAC?
Oh, you can't put me on the spot. We need a week of planning.
You're right. Oh, geez. Okay. So appearance is a big thing. Like, that could be its own episode because that's an episode where I might bring in a stylist. I grow my hair out a little, but just so they can be like, not you're trying to make me the coolest guy in the world. I'm running for office. What look do you think works? What look should I have?
Yeah.
For running for office in 2027, 2028. So clothes, hair, fitness. These are all things that I have to get under control, and I'm starting now. I'm like, as odd as it is, the fear of death hasn't made me eat better, but having a fun political social experiment, I'm going to take care of myself.
Preparing for a role.
Right.
Yeah, that's I get it.
Yeah, leader of the free world.
Yes.
And I, by the way, when I step to Putin at 5'6", America's going to look a lot better with a 49-year-old, 6'7", 235, going, hello, you little shit. Okay. Xi, Winnie the Pooh, as they call it. They're not allowed to call him in China.
Yeah.
I'll go out there in a Winnie the Pooh t-shirt.
Yeah.
then I will have the guns hugging, because that's about intimidating foreign leaders.
Right.
I won the election. Now people want to see the goods flexing on other people in defense of America.
Right.
But appearance is going to be a big thing. And that we're going to start working on tonight. I'm going to have a healthy dinner and I'm going to start hitting the gym again. And that's it.
Great.
We're on a mission. I might take a daily photo and then throw that into like a 250. And all of a sudden it's like. Anyway. And slogan. We're going to have to come up with a slogan.
Yeah. I didn't know we were announcing tonight, so I don't feel as prepared.
We said, yeah.
But you give me a week to actually think of some.
I lulled you into a haze and an anger last week with my lengthy diatribe.
It's so long, yes. So long.
So what I'm going to say is, all right. Well, that might be interesting news. Anyway. I'd make this a tighter episode. I hope people have laughed at this a little bit. It's not like our other episodes. Trust me, throughout this process and this podcast, we're going to talk politics, real politics, and how my candidate would respond to issues. So we'll bring that up. There'll be humor, but there's going to be like these different things we have to check off and build as this goes on.
We're brand building from this point forward.
Exactly. So like culture, I'm just going to say the last thing I'll say just to how it relates to the show, culture will be an episode. Like, I'm watching Yellowstone. I'm binging Yellowstone. That may sound shallow to be like, you think that's all it takes? Yes. But I'm gonna stream some Morgan Whalen. I'm gonna absorb the popular stuff so I can say, hey, you know what? I don't mind that. I can speak. I like having lots of references. It's a lost art, I'm finding. I do have a wealth of sort of references, both pop culture and historic, like that I can call on. If I can add to that repertoire, red state, popular things in the red state, who's to say I won't like it? I remember getting shit for loving the movie American Sniper because that was like viewed as like a red state movie. I thought it was a great movie.
Which we both agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was one of those, like, it's very popular in red states. And I go, I don't know. I mean, I guess, but I don't view it as like, that's a red state movie. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, that's really a very unfair criticism of that movie.
Right.
It's really just about a guy coming back from war.
Right. It's like if Red State, like this is an effort to sort of say, hey, just because Red State people like it doesn't make it shit.
Right.
Just like they shouldn't think if Blue State, but there is a MAGA vibe of like, if liberals are mad, good.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Apparently, my daughter got run over by a truck. And these liberals were crying, praying for me. I said, good, at least they're sad.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like how we both agreed that we kind of like Toby Keith.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, do I think that he's the Beatles? No, but kind of fun.
Right.
And it is a red state sort of thing, you know?
And I do.
Rest in peace.
I do give credit to, like, you know, I don't mind some. I know the Iraq War was a disaster. I don't really mind a country singer getting patriotic after 9/11.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't mind anybody getting patriotic. Country singer? That's like somebody saying, I can't believe your 85-year-old grandfather is supporting Israel.
Right.
Your 85-year-old Jewish grandfather is pro-Israel.
Right.
Okay. Good. Nice knowing you.
Yeah.
Like, Toby Keith came out with a put a boot in your ass patriotism song during the Iraq War. How dare he?
Yeah.
No. And that's why I think somebody like Stephen Colbert was like friends with him because,
you
know, you can't hold everybody. And trust me, you know how I feel about fucking Trump and MAGA voters. So I'm not like doing but I am shifting a little.
Yeah.
See that? Are you seeing that, people? I'm going to start to do a little shift of like, hey, I think you made terrible decisions. I'm not going to lie to you and say I support your vote for Trump. I think that was an awful decision for this country and a lapse in judgment on your part.
Right.
So I go strong, but I say, but I don't condemn you as a person because I need votes in 4 years.
And now it's time to come back to us. You had your lapse in judgment. You voted for Trump, but now it's time to bridge the gap, the divide. And we are going to unite this country. The only way that, what's your new name?
John Lewis McBride.
The only way that John Lewis McBride knows
JLM,
how.
Not BLM.
That's right.
Is that our phrase for red states?
I think that's a good one. Yeah.
JLM, not BLM. Oh, see, I mean, this war room, this podcast used to be a podcast studio. Now it's a political war room. Woo-wee!
Oh boy.
See that? I already sound like a fucking down home boy.
Know. Yeah.
So like, but Yellowstone, Morgan Wallen, things like that, I'm going to absorb them because I want to know that stuff.
Yeah.
Like I want to be able to say why I think it sucks.
Yeah.
Or say, hey, you know what? Not everything's a bag of shit. Hey, I have 3 Kid Rock albums before he got political.
You have 3 of them?
I have 3. I have Devil Without a Cause, which is a tremendous album.
Yeah.
I have.
That's the classic.
Yes. It really is. But it really is awesome.
Yeah.
Haven't listened to it in a while, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
I defend it. Then The History of Rock he came out with, which was disappointing because it had 2 good songs on it, but it was like he slipped in the B-side album to like take advantage of like the success of Devil Without a Cause.
Was that American Badass?
Yeah.
I am American Badass.
Watch me. God, I know it stinks in here because I'm the shit. Oh, they call me Cowboy. It's so good. Fuck that. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I could, like, Kid Rock.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to challenge Red State people to put their money, not all of them.
Yeah.
But a lot of them always do the, why does it have to be about politics? And I'll put it right back to them. I have probably more fucking Kid Rock albums than you, person who only likes him because he shows up with Trump.
Yeah.
So who's putting politics where first? And I didn't burn my Kid Rock albums. And then Cocky was the next one. And what I loved about that was it wasn't a picture of his dick.
Yeah.
But it was like him sitting in a chair and like his crotch is centered.
Yeah.
But so double entendre. So don't tell me Kid Rock isn't like a literary genius.
He's an artist. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man.
What is Photograph on
Picture.
Yeah,
with Sheryl Crow.
Great song.
Yeah.
Wait, anytime I'm in a karaoke bar and I hear that, I'm like, I put
your picture away. Some of my fans right now are going, JL's taking this politics thing a little too seriously.
Yeah, Cocky,
I don't even know him.
Yeah.
I don't even know JL right now.
Yeah, there's some better work here than I remember.
Thank you.
Also, I will say, not to make this all about Kid Rock, but there was one time I was at a friend's house and we were just like going down a YouTube hole.
Mm-hmm.
And we were watching the VMAs from like 2003, uh-huh. I think. And Kid Rock's breakout year. And he
earlier,
just like,
earlier, because 99.
Oh, then
was the
yeah,
year,
maybe, so
like
maybe it was 2000. Yeah, 2000. It was like right around then. And it was literally just like the performance. The VMAs were fucking psychotic. It was like Marilyn Manson, him. It was crazy. But he came out and he had that little person.
Josie?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And he just comes out in like a mink with
oh,
no
hell
shirt
yeah.
on under it and like a fedora. Like yes. It's just fucking nuts. And he has like a mosh pit in front of him.
I'm the Josie to the C. How they call me Josie. But like that got more game than Coleco.
Dude, yeah. I mean, it was really a spectacle. I saw him live once. He opened for Bon Jovi. He was fucking great.
I saw him at Foxborough with Korn and Metallica.
Yeah.
That should tell you, I've lived a life. I've been in many different paths. The morals have never changed.
Right.
But that doesn't, the point is, I think Kid Rock is sort of detestable now, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there was a time where he was just a fun, dumb hick.
Yeah, and his music fucking rocked.
Yeah.
I don't, that's it. Now, I have feelings, of course, when I hear his music now and think, well, now you're like an anti-Black Lives Matter, pro-Trump guy. But you were like
a rapper,
really feasting on Black culture and embracing it and using it, you know. And that's why Eminem, I never get people who like, I guess I can understand people who just want to make like rap is Black, period.
Yeah.
I can't support him. But most Black people seem to support Eminem because A, he's insanely talented and B, kind of respects and understands his place in the culture.
I think so. Yeah.
And whereas Kid Rock is more of probably, or maybe over time, he's just changed into a bigger piece of shit, but that sort of textbook culture vulture type shit.
Yeah.
If you don't really respect or like these people or care about their issues, but you like suck up their art and use it to elevate yourself. Anyway, that's for my NPR appearances. Mm-hmm. Mike, we obviously have to keep our messages sort of straight for different people. J.L. Covan and Jean-Louis Covan can appear places, but the John Lewis McBrien campaign has to be different.
Yeah.
But that will be an episode that will be very on point for the show, because if I hate Yellowstone or Morgan Wallen, then it'll be like a traditional, like, oh, he's complaining about Yellowstone all episode, but it will tie into the broader theme of the show. But my memoir, I'm gonna write and potentially self-publish a political memoir in the next 18 months.
Love that.
That is psychotic. Really?
Yeah, it fits.
Thank you.
The man that I'm looking at.
If the straight jacket fits.
Yeah. Yes.
We're going to have to discuss any potential scandals, 99% of which will probably come from my own words on podcasts and albums.
Yeah.
Policy, obviously, we're going to flesh that out in some cases as response to things Trump does and more, and sometimes just to place what my priorities will be. Elder care, I want to be a big centerpiece of what I do. Old people vote, and I care about it. So it's not just a voting only. It's sort of a best of both worlds. Obviously, you know, reaching out to different demographics. I'm half Haitian. I'm half Irish. That I think should play well. I also have, you know, I think one of the weird things is, you know, some of the scandals might be the two worst relationships I've ever had were with Jewish women, which will probably help me with Jewish men in the polls.
An understanding.
Yeah, because the, you know, when I was dating these two different people at times in my life, the response from my Gentile friends was always like, holy shit, hot. And my response almost universally from my Jewish male friends was, we have to, but why are you doing it? That's a quote from a married Jewish, observant Jewish friend. That is a quote.
It's pretty funny.
We have to, why are you doing it? So, you know, I think just the same way Trump tried to appeal to black men, I think I could maybe leak some stories in that direction and get like some positive Jewish male support for that. And then we're going to put together our stump speech. Our slogan will be determined. What my main issues will be. I already said elder care will be one of the centerpiece issues that I want to. I'm going to actually dig in. Like, I know there are some foreign countries that have tremendous elder care programs, Netherlands, Japan. Look into those seriously. Like, even if I just read like a paper or a summary and look at what Jay Inslee did in Washington, which I believe is the first state in our country to offer an elder care program. And there will be like two or three issues that I center my campaign on. But I feel like elder care is something that will probably be very relatable to a lot of people. So, and then my bio, we construct what is my, we know things about me, but putting it into a like one page, like here's everything you need to, former prosecutor, former college athlete, comedian, has traveled the country, has been fired from jobs, was a lawyer, was a prosecutor. You're getting a lot. You're getting a lot in the bio of J.O. Covan, also known as John Lewis McBrien. We're going to have to pick out people who we fundraise for, who's going to be our fundraisers. You know, what celebrities will I tap into?
Who do you think is on the docket right now?
I mean, Richard Marx and Daisy Fuentes are going to get very close to me against their will pretty soon.
Okay.
Other comics, I think, bigger name people. I have a lot of politicos. Anthony Scaramucci.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I mean,
we know,
we might have to placate the crypto industry a little bit to get him on board. But I think, you know, we can, even if we brought him on as a guest again, let's say I want to fund, you know, once again, building the hypothetical candidacy while getting real information. So he would be somebody I'd say, you've got to have raised money for people. You're a wealthy guy. You're a successful guy. Listen, JL, what you have to do is when you're talking, you got to get into crypto, JL. Endorsements. We're going to seek out endorsements later in this process. I might hire a pollster.
Okay.
And to do a hypothetical candidate, here are my policies. Like, this is a later stage thing. Hypothetical candidate with these policies. What do you think? Like, I'd be like, how much will that cost me to get you to run a poll in like Iowa and New Hampshire?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like $50,000.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I have $3,000. Can you do it in a,
and this is a bit,
can you do it in a town in Iowa or New Hampshire? You know, we're within our means, but obviously once again, Patreon, if those Patreon coffers start hitting Andrew Schultz and Shane Gillis levels, oh, I'm bringing in real, I'm gonna start offering jobs to a political team.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to maybe take some trips abroad. Not Mike, probably not me,
yeah,
but I'm thinking a trip to Ireland is probably in the offerings for me with, you know, doing the, here's me having a Guinness in my mother's ancestral land. And there's a lot of good biographical stuff that will come out. That's, and not all this is going to be jokes. The whole process is both humor and sociological and political, but it's not all going to be humor. And then talk about my family. And obviously a big episode will be, you know, hard to be a single man and get elected, hard to be unmarried and get elected president. So we might have to bring Laura in here and see if she's wife material.
Mm.
Like a real grilling.
I'm kidding. You know, and what
for good content.
I know. And what and at the end, it's like once she passes the test, I go, okay, will you marry me? Slide a ring at her. At which point she goes, I'm disgusted. No. And then I go, new theme to the podcast. JL needs a first lady. But I'm saying everything's on the table for this experiment. So I hope you guys are excited. I, despite my super tired looking eyes, my melancholy over comedy, I'm excited about this because I think this is going to be a very unique approach to politics and comedy. And I'm very curious about this. Everybody always talks about Joe Rogan so curious. I'm more curious. And by the way, getting on Joe Rogan in year two of this experiment, a big priority.
I mean, at this point, it has to be, right?
That's but I think lust. If we've build up, if we build up a narrative and get some content out there, and then I have somebody contact his producer, maybe my producer contacts his producer, and then we go, you. I volunteer you as tribute.
You think I'm going to get you on Rogan?
No, not now.
Okay.
But when this thing starts to take flight.
Yeah.
So everybody, I've got shows on my website. I'll be in Rochester, New York, a couple towns in Pennsylvania over the next month and a half. I'll be in Charlotte at the end of February. All great. Please check out my special Half Blackface. Nobody has given it a 5-star review in the last 3 weeks. So please, if you haven't watched it, watch it. If you already have watched it and haven't left a review, please leave a review. 5-star this podcast on Apple or Spotify. Subscribe to my YouTube if you're a listener, vice versa. You know the deal for all that. But my Patreon is, it's only $3 a month, but that's going to be sort of like our unofficial, hey, and I'm going to be putting stuff up there, the regular content every month, but then I'm going to start thinking of like, what can I leak pages of my memoir? Can I show you fitness updates? Like it's going to be
I leak pages of the memoir.
I'm trying to talk like it's real, Mike.
I get it. I just think it's the phrasing is funny to me.
Well,
I'm not discouraging you.
The funny was a scoffing laugh. It wasn't like JL so
it's
funny.
Sort of an Earth's Mightiest scoffing.
It's sort of a condescending sort of thing. But the point is, everybody, join the Patreon. Join us on this journey. If you can't join the Patreon, make sure you're tuning into the show, sharing with friends if you think it's funny. But we're over the next couple of weeks, we're really going to break some of these things down as I start working towards better health, better knowledge of certain policies. And I know this maybe sounds really ambitious, but I need a project that can utilize what I do and make me feel like I'm doing something like with what I have, what I bring to the table. And this is going to be it. And I hope you will join us and enjoy it and spread the word. And as it grows and builds, it will be at least interesting, hopefully funny, and maybe even better than that. So that's it. So thank you, Mike. It's going to be the worst 2 years of your life. I guarantee it.
Looking forward to it.
And I will see you next Thursday in JL We Trust.